You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Please be seated. Both the passage from Deuteronomy today and our gospel parable of the Good Samaritan have direct similarities. In our first reading, Moses tells the people, God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings as God has done in the past. Moses tells the people that their job description is to turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. We hear this idea again in the gospel when the young lawyer distills the law of Moses down to one simple commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Often today we assume that keeping God's law can feel impossible for us. But Moses tells the people, surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. Recently, I heard someone in reference to the commandment to love God and neighbor sounds rather straightforward and direct. But the problem is God made all of us so very different from one another, and that's why it's a hard commandment to follow. Some say it's easy for us to love those who are like us, but put someone in our way, like an enemy or a stranger, someone on the margins, and we act a whole lot like the priest or the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan today. What makes the parable of the Good Samaritan so amazing is that Jews and Samaritans were sworn enemies. Jews thought they were better than Samaritans, yet the Samaritan is the one who took pity on the Jew and cared for him. It can be difficult for us, for all of us, and to truly love fully those who are markedly different from us. However, while difference is an obstacle to love of neighbor, I suggest there is a more basic problem getting in the way of our ability to follow this commandment. If we look again at what the lawyer says, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. In this regard, I think many of us, me included, can fall into the trap and follow this commandment to the letter of the law. I hold that often following this, we follow this commandment all too well. For many of us, we love our neighbor just as much as we love ourselves. And that's where the problem lies. The assumption of what the lawyer says is that most people love themselves, but this is not always the case. I truly believe that if we were able to actually have good, healthy, deep, true love of self, then loving our neighbor would simply come naturally to us. I say this because more than any other issue I see when I sit down with people is how often they do not have a healthy love of self that blocks them from healthy love of others, and I am no exception. I struggled my whole life to maintain a healthy love of self. When I was a kid, I felt there was something different about me, which most kids feel at one time or another. However, over the years, that self-doubt turned into a deep inner shame. I remember saying to myself, God made a mistake when he made me. As I became an older child into my teens, that deep shame grew and grew. My image of self was as low as you could get. This self-image only became magnified when I was coming to the realization that I was gay in my late teen years. About 10 years ago, into my relationship with my spouse, Art, my shame became so toxic that I entered therapy to fix my problem. I ultimately left Art and spun further down into despair and depression until the only solution that I saw for myself was suicide. While I had a plan to do it, I actually did not act on it, and instead, thanks to Art, entered a psychiatric hospital for treatment. What stopped me following through was not a healthy love of myself, but the realization that there were others who loved me when I couldn't love myself. It wasn't my life that I valued, but the thought of others who loved me stopped me. I simply couldn't do that to them. At the time, it wasn't a realization of the love of God either. I felt God had abandoned me, and I let God know it in no uncertain terms. It was through that struggle that I realized God was big enough to handle my anti-God rants. Following those days in 1991, I began to turn my life around and build it back to a place where the demons of shame may still visit from time to time, but I have developed the inner and exterior resources necessary to fight back. I discovered the importance of freely and genuinely accepting myself as I am, warts and all, not as I think I am or how I'd like to be. The more I can intentionally seek self-acceptance, the more fully I am able to have a healthy self-love. I have learned it is actually through my doubts and my own brokenness that I can listen and understand the doubts and brokenness in the lives of others. As St. Paul tells us, it is when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's why I often share with you personal stories of struggle and transformation, like I'm about to do right now. Around the same time I was putting my life back together, my pastor from St. Mark's Capitol Hill testified before a Senate committee on same-sex unions. And as a result, a group of fundamentalist Christians protested at our church, setting up a picket line one Sunday. I remember approaching the church early to come for choir rehearsal. And I had to cross the picket line, and they yelled the most vile things at me, not knowing who I was, but just they started screaming at us as we entered the church. And it got so bad that the Secret Service that happened to be in the Capitol Police Force sent sharpshooters in the church in case someone was going to be violent because it was getting out of hand. So I simply prayed and prayed, Lord, tell me what I am supposed to do. These people saw the world entirely different than I did. And the threat was there, so the guys with guns were inside the church. So after I received communion, I sat in quiet, and the answer came to me. Love them. And so I said, God, how am I to love them? And I was given an answer. I was told I was to go outside and join the protesters in their picket line. I was told to go out there and simply love them because they are also my children. So I marched out before the final hymn and stood right with them, not on the other side of the line, but in the line itself. When the parishioners filed out of church, they saw me standing with the protesters. The Holy Spirit truly came upon me, and as I was actually able to look at each of those people in the face, and in that moment, to truly love them without condition. We didn't argue or talk much. I simply stood there with them. One by one, they started to fall away and left their protests going away, until only one person was left standing who happened to be the organizer of the protest. He and I engaged in conversation. It wasn't a conversation of trying to prove our points of view, either by him and certainly not by me in that moment. We agreed early in the conversation we were simply not to agree, but as I continued to look at him with eyes of love and compassion, I was told to bless him. So I offered to bless him and he accepted. After that, he asked to bless me. We knelt on the sidewalk in front of the church and blessed each other. Then we hugged each other and we both departed. In that whole encounter, I felt at that moment that bullets would have bounced off of me. I felt a power I had never felt before, one in which I looked at everything as holy and loved, and was able to extend that love in silence to those at the picket line who were standing against me. Again, using my own perceived place of brokenness became an instrument of healing and wholeness. We found our common humanity to be more important than our differences. I found that I was able to love them because in that moment, I could most fully love myself as God loved me. So my prayer for you today, especially to those here this morning who may feel unworthy or guilty or shamed or broken, you are deeply loved and fully loved, more than you can ask or imagine. You are worthy because you are loved by Almighty God, who created you in love, created you to be loved by others, and to follow God's commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor, and to love yourself.